Chapter 1, verse 18, we're going to be looking at the Christmas story from the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to be speaking on the subject that Jesus is God with us. And that's really good news. Jesus is God with us, and that's really, really good news. Lord, today, as we gather in this place, we thank you again that you have left a clear witness to yourself in our culture. Father, thank you for how you have superintended history, for how you have fulfilled your living word, for the way that you brought forth your Son, the Son of God, to save us from our sins and to be with us, to lead us, and to rule and reign in righteousness, because we really need your kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, as was prayed earlier, as Tammy prayed, Lord, we thank you that you're active and on the move. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking and working. We thank you, Spirit of Christ, that you're revealing the glory of God in music and in presentations and in lights and conversations, so many things in this beautiful season of the year. Thank you. And today we ask you to come and speak to us. We ask you to anoint the words with the power of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we love you, we worship you, and we receive your ministry now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I want to talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his first coming. And as Pastor Jeff has shared with us as a team and some of us, you know, there are people living in our culture that have never heard the Christmas story. We are a community that is the most diverse city in the United States, and we have people from over 350 tongue, tribes, languages, and nations, people groups represented in this nation. And then many of us have been raised in church. We've heard the stories, or we've been around and we've heard things. But I want us to think about the Christmas story this morning, and I want us to present ourselves to the Christmas story like we've not heard it before, if you can do that. Think about it, that someone's hearing this for the first time from another culture, from another background, from another place, and they're hearing about it. And so that's how I want to talk about this miracle of God with us. Jesus is God with us. Keep that in mind. This Lord, this King, this living God is here right now, God with us. So this is how the birth of Jesus happened, Matthew tells us. The mother of Jesus, her name was Mary. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, to marry Joseph. The first stage of marriage in Jewish tradition and law usually lasted for a year before the actual wedding night. Unlike an engagement, it was legally binding, and it required a divorce to nullify it. The woman would remain with her parents during that betrothal year and was referred to as wife, even though the marriage was not consummated during this period of time. And so you have Mary, and then you have this betrothal period, and then before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. Now, Mary had found out before Joseph that she was going to get pregnant. It happens that way a lot, doesn't it, guys? Our wives hear things or know things before us. An angel appeared to Mary. The angel Gabriel came, and said that the Holy Spirit, he would come upon her and overshadow her, and that she would give birth to a son. Now, this is the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Let me read verses 30 to 33. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child. You're to give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of God Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." So Mary finds out that she's going to be pregnant. She will be pregnant by a miracle of the Holy Spirit, a divine conception that's not of physical intimacy. But Joseph did not know this. Now, the scripture tells us in Matthew 1:19 that Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good man, and he was the one to whom Mary was betrothed. And he didn't want to disgrace or humiliate Mary. And so he actually looked for a way out of the situation. He decided to divorce Mary quietly and not publicly. He didn't want her shamed or humiliated. So the Heavenly Father, who has revealed what he is going to do to Mary, and then Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, the Heavenly Father intervenes by sending an angel to come and speak to Joseph in a dream. And that's in verse 20. The Lord actually puts his finger on a fear in the heart of Joseph, who was, the scripture says, afraid to take Mary as his wife. What was his fear? What was the fear? Well, actually, the scripture is silent on what was troubling Joseph. The text doesn't tell us, but here are some ideas. He might have been fear of ridicule and judgment for a pregnancy that was outside the wedlock and what God had intended, and especially, y'all know, in our cultures, there's all sorts of shame and judgment that happens. There was the fear of the future. Things are happening outside of his control, and they're not going like he thought that they would. And then there's the fear of the unknown. What has Mary done? What is going on? What is happening? What am I going to do? So the Lord reveals to Joseph that the baby was spirit conceived and another man was not the father. So then the Lord reveals to Joseph that he's going to have not only a child, he's going to have a son. And then the Lord tells him, you're going to name him Jesus, because the name Jesus means God saves. He's going to save us, save his people from their sins. And then the Lord revealed that the birth of Jesus would fulfill the prophetic words that the Lord had given through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, and said that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And now God would be with us like he had never been with us before. So it's powerful in verses 24 and 25. Joseph wakes up from this dream and he does exactly what the Lord has told him through the angel in the dream. Joseph took a step of faith. He chose not to give in to fear. He took Mary home to be his wife. He didn't have physical intimacy with Mary until after Jesus was born. And then Joseph gave this baby, this son, the name the Lord had commanded, gave him the name Jesus, which means God saves. Now, I wish we had time to look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 is an amazing part of this story and journey, and it continues the unfolding of the birth of the Lord Jesus and what he stepped into. But we don't have time to do that right now. I just want to focus on this first part here in Matthew chapter 1. The good news of the coming of Jesus, the good news of Christmas, is for all people. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from the power of sin, from the ravages of sin, from the debt of sin. Jesus came to save us. The Bible tells us that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. If we turn to Jesus, if we call upon Jesus, if we receive the gift of Jesus, we shall be saved and will be brought near to God and into the family of God forever. One of my favorite passages of scripture is John chapter 1, verse 12. In John telling the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus, John starts with this one who was from the beginning. And then he says in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." And you know, here we are at Christmas, and there will be an exchange of gifts. And if you have a gift for someone, something that you've thought about that you think would fit them, that they would enjoy, that would be perfect for them, you want them to not only acknowledge the gift, but you want them to receive the gift. But it doesn't become theirs until they actually take possession of it. You have a gift there that's waiting and to be opened, to be received, but they've got to accept that gift. And John chapter 1, verse 12 says, to as many as received him, God came and he gave. He gave his greatest gift. He gave his son to us, and he wants us to receive him. And at this time of the year, I believe God is saying, I want you to receive the gift that God is with you, and he's with me. Jesus came to be with you and me. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. From the beginning in the garden, God has always wanted a relationship with you and with me. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and then we decided better of things. We thought that we had a better way, and we chose our own way, and God has been coming after us ever since. And when we read the end of the book in Revelation, God comes to make his home with us and comes to dwell with us. The city of God comes down to earth, and the scripture says, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. This has always been in the heart of God. God wants to be with you and wants you to be with him where he is, and he wants you to experience his life and life abundantly. So in the garden, that's the way it was begun. At the end of the book, this is the reality that we're going to experience. God is with us, and he will be our God, and we will be his people, and he will dwell with us forever and ever. And in between Genesis, Revelation is the revelation of God coming and coming and coming and coming. And he comes most fully, completely in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to make their home in us by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to make his home and his dwelling with us, with you and me. That word dwelling, tabernacle, to live, to dwell. And then in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus, in describing the heart of God and his desire for us and his desire for history, his desire for people on this planet, he says this in verse 16, if you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Can you hear the heart of this living Christ, of this Holy One of God, and says, I want to be so with you that I'm going to send another one, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, to be in you, to live with you. And me and my Father, we abide in one another, and the Father wants to abide in me, and I want to abide in you. We're going to all abide together. The mystery, the miracle of this season is God with us. Not God with them, God with you, and God with me. And then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. God's trying to say something to us, amen? God wants to be with us. God wants us to be aware that he's with us. He actually says, I am with you. My Holy Spirit has come near to you. My Father has pursued you. He just wants us to be aware of that. And Christmas, a part of Christmas, is coming to the awareness, coming to the recognition, coming to acknowledge that God is with me. God is here right now. He is here. We made time for him. We wanted to worship him. We wanted to celebrate him. And then we become his hands, his feet. We become his extensions of his living presence because he is here and wants to touch people with his love, with his hope, with his help, with his healing. That's our God. This is really good news. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God with us on the mountaintops and in the heights of victory, in the heights of authority, in the heights of encounter and breakthrough. Jesus is God with us in the valleys of darkness, in the valleys of pain, in the valleys of difficulty, testing, and brokenness. God is with us in those desert places where we're stripped bare of everything that we rely on, where we're thirsty and dry, where we feel abandoned and alone, and where we are desperate. And God is with us in the harvest fields, the fields of fruitfulness, where there's favor, where there's abundance, where there's blessing. God is with us in the mountain heights. He's with us in the valley depths. He is with us in the plains of harvest and fruitfulness, and he's with us in the desert. There's no place you can go where he's not there. He loves us. He loves you. God keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming after us in order to fulfill his words, his plans, his purposes in our lives. Now, sometimes, like Joseph, we look for ways out. We sometimes look for ways out of what we're going through because, well, to be honest, if you're going through the valley of trouble, trial, the valley of the shadow of death, that's not our preferred place to be, right? So we look for another place. We'd rather be on a mountaintop. As a matter of fact, most people that I meet, they want to be anywhere but where they are. Okay, this is a parenthesis. I was talking with a friend the other day who was admiring one of her friends had gone to the beautician or to, what do they call him now? The stylist. Not that. Thank you, Cheryl. I'm sorry. Hairdresser. So they went to there, wherever there was. And they had their hair permed and they had it really curly. And then another person was in this room and they were talking about how curly their hair looked and how pretty it looked. And the other person talked about, you know, how straight their hair was. And then the person who had straight hair said, my hair is normally curly. And then the person who had the curly hair from the permanent said, the stylist said, well, my hair is normally straight. We like to change things, right? We don't like where we are. That story really didn't go as well as I'd hoped. But the point is, like Joseph, he goes, I want out of here. This isn't working. This is not where I want to be. I'm in the mountain. I want to be on the harvest plain. If I'm in the fields of harvest, it's so busy, it's so amazing, it's so abundant. I want some quiet and some peace. I want to be in a desert. It just, but God says, I'm with you where you are. So the question is, where are you right now? You on the mountain? You in the valley? You in the desert? You in the fields of harvest? We sometimes look for ways out of where we are, like Joseph did. And sometimes we experience warfare and attack of the enemy who seeks to abort the purposes of God in our life. That's actually what Matthew chapter 2 reveals to us. Matthew chapter 2 reveals to us how the enemy came to abort and destroy. When King Herod actually hears from the wise men that a baby was born, a king, the Bible prophesied, Herod goes to his wise men and they say, well, it's really clear from Scripture, he's born in Bethlehem. And so he tells the Magi that, and they're going to go see this king. He says, be sure to come back and tell me because I would like to worship him also, which was not true. So in a dream, they're warm. There are a lot of dreams. Did you know God speaks to people in dreams? God speaks today. He's the God who speaks and makes known his will. So God speaks to the wise men, the Magi, and they don't go back to Herod and tell him that they found the baby. And Herod finds out about it. And so what he does, everybody 2 years of age and younger, he has them all killed. There's weeping and crying because of this rage. The enemy wants to abort God's purposes. So sometimes where we are, we want to figure a way out. And then sometimes where we are is a place of battle. It's a place of warfare. It's a place where we're experiencing the enemy wants to come and abort. So when you think about the Christmas story, the Lord navigates our brokenness, like in Joseph, we want a way out. He navigates the work of the enemy and all that he's doing, and he still brings forth his purposes and plans in the earth. And then God moves and works to protect what he's doing in the earth. Jesus knows what it's like to experience poverty, to experience lack. Jesus was actually born into poverty. He was born into lack. He wasn't born into wealth and privilege. Jesus knows what it's like to be pursued by the enemy who wants to abort the purposes of God. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus knows what it's like to be uprooted, to lose everything, and to be a refugee. His father was warned in a dream about what Herod was going to do. So the Bible says that Joseph picked up the family, and all they had was what they had in their possession, what they had that they could carry, and they fled to Egypt like refugees. Jesus knows what it's like to be displaced by the storm of the enemy, by the storms of life. And then Jesus knows what it's like to be dependent on others. One of the amazing things about the Lord Jesus is he came and showed us how to live totally dependent upon God, how God intended men, women, boys, and girls to live in total dependence and union and life walking with this living God. Jesus knows what it's like to be dependent on a mom and dad, dependent upon others, family, friends. Jesus knows what that's like. The coming of Jesus is good news. This God with us, with you, with me. The bad news is that you and I are lost and we're trapped in our sin. The good news is that Jesus, the Savior, comes to save us from our sins and to bring us back into a right relationship with the living God. And he actually goes way beyond that and says, now you're a new creation in Christ. The old is passed away. It's gone. And I'm making all things new. The bad news is that we're separated from God. We're trapped in isolation. We're trapped in loneliness. The good news is that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus says that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus makes a commitment to be with you always, no matter what the voices of loneliness and isolation say. The bad news is that we're weak and we're broken people. The good news is that God is at work through weak vessels of clay like you and like me. The Lord is not repulsed by our weaknesses. The Lord can overcome our weaknesses, our fears, our vows, our brokenness. The bad news is that we're born in a world that's at war with God and with one another, and we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. The good news is that God is at work in our lives, and darkness, disease, and devils do not have the last word in our lives or in this world. The bad news is that in this broken world, we're going to have trials and troubles. The good news is that God is with us in the good times and the bad, in the times of abundance and lack, and in the times of blessing and loss, God is with you. God is with me. There's a lot of words there. But what are you thinking right now? Now, I'm not about the presents that you're going to open. I'm talking about from the message. Think about the message. What are you thinking right now? What are you feeling? What are you present to right now? I want to take 5 minutes, and I want us to stop and pause. I want us to close our eyes, and I want us to listen. I want us to take 5 minutes to reflect and to pay attention to what the Lord is doing, and to make room for the Lord who's speaking to us right now. It's a really busy season. There's a lot going on. But God is here with us. Let's be still and let's be quiet. So he's going to play something for just a few minutes. Let's spend this time with the Lord. Thank you. Lord, we acknowledge that we're in different places from one another. But Lord, we've taken time this morning to acknowledge that you are here with us. Oh God, thank you for your amazing love, your abounding love, your pursuing love of us. Thank you. Lord, we want to learn how to live aware of your presence. Lord, for some of us, this message that you're here with us, Lord, it raises questions. We hear voices of the enemy, our own broken voices of shame and guilt. Lord, I pray that we'll hear the voice that says, I am for you, I am with you, I do not condemn you. Lord, some of us, what we're feeling and experiencing this time is loss. Lord, it's been a difficult season for some of us. It's been a painful season. Lord, we've lost loved ones, we've lost possessions. Lord, we throw ourselves upon your lap and declare we need you, Lord. Lord, others are in a season of abundance and blessing and favor and breakthrough, and Lord, we want to acknowledge you there too. Lord, wherever we are, you said, there I am. Lord, we acknowledge you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So during this season, from now to the first of the new year, I want to give you an invitation. The invitation is this: take some time in solitude. Maybe I should say make some time to be alone in the next week, maybe today, the next week, to reflect on the good news of the coming of the Lord Jesus and on the meaning of this Christmas season for you and for this world. So take some time, make some time to reflect. Secondly, would you make some time to celebrate and to give thanks for Jesus, for his coming into this world, for his coming into this world for you and for me? Would you take some time to reflect on what the Lord is saying and doing in you in this season of your life as your Savior, as your Emmanuel, since he's God and King? In what area of your life do you need to see the saving and delivering work of Jesus? What can you do to partner with him to overcome sin, weakness, or darkness? In what area of your life do you need to experience the presence and the nearness of the Lord? Ask him for the gift of awareness. Ask the Lord to impart to you the courage and the confidence that comes from knowing that he's with you, his presence. So take some time to reflect. Take some time to celebrate. Take some time to listen. And take some time to share. Share with others what the Lord means to you. Share with others what the Lord is doing. You don't have to be perfect or finished. Just share where you are. This is my current reality. This is where I am right now. This is what I hope for in my preferred future, where I want to be with the Lord, what he's promised. I'm not there yet. But just talk about him. Just share with others what you're becoming aware of and what the Lord's showing you. That's real life. Joseph was honest, right? He said, I need a way out. I don't know if this is going to work. So if you're in that place where we prayed earlier, and this is a hard season for you, would you just share that with others and ask them to pray with you? If this is a season where you're flourishing and being blessed and encouraged and learning and challenged, just share. This is what the Lord's doing. This is what I'm learning. This is where I am. Whatever it is, would you just take some time in the next week, today? Would you take some time to just reflect, to celebrate? Would you take some time to listen, and would you take some time to share? Good news. Jesus is God with you, and he's with me, and he's with your family and those systems that seem anxious and broken. He wants to be with you there. He wants to be with you in this broken world, but this world that is that is His and He's at work in and He's not giving up on. And the enemy does not have the last word. He wants us to be aware. Thank you for coming this morning to make time for Him, to be aware. Thank you for making time for one another and doing this as the body of Christ community. Thank you. And then just, if you don't know this Jesus, this God with you, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, if you've never received this gift, God loves you so much that He gave His Son. He gives Jesus to us. This would be a great day to say yes to the gift, to take the gift, to receive the gift. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for overcoming my sin and paying my debt that I could not pay. Thank you for your life eternal. I want to receive you. Be the Lord of my life. Lead me. Jesus, I want to experience what we've talked about this morning, what they said in these words. I want to know you with me always. Jesus, help me to follow you. Give me your spirit and help me. You can pray that right now. Or you can pray that as you think on it and meditate on it. That'd be a really good gift to open. The gift of eternal life, personal relationship with this living God. What a great way to experience Christmas. Amen. Let's stand. Living God, we love you. Father, we're amazed at your goodness. We're amazed at your plans for our lives, for this earth. We're amazed at how you're at work. We worship you today. Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, you've captured us with your beauty, with your wisdom, your splendor. Thank you for making us a part of the eternal family of God. Thank you for coming to rule and reign in righteousness, peace, and joy. Thank you that you're coming again, and we're going to get to help set everything right, to partner with you. Thank you that you're at work right now today in my life, in our lives, in our spheres of influence. Jesus, we love you, and we want to partner with you on your mission around us and through us. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your help. Thank you for being with us. Living God, we celebrate to you. And we declare the good news of Christmas, that Jesus saves and that Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us, in whose name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas, y'all. Hope you have a great